This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. This was my first full week of quote-unquote retirement. So I had my first full day of retirement on Monday. That was fun. Got to just write all day, not worried about anything else. And I didn't even have Aiden Monday morning. I did pick him up in the evenings, but that's fine. It's no big deal. So that was nice, having all that free time to do that. And I've been slowly implementing my extra stuff, which is lay out in the sun for half an hour, 15 minutes on a side with my little Speedo to get as much sun as possible. That's been fun. I've been able to do that two or three days. And then I've been working on a movement set of exercises. So I've done that two or three days. I'm still getting my timings all figured out. You know, like, okay, if I write till 6:45 and then go for a run at 6:45, what does that look like for getting into work at 9 or for your leaving work at 8:40, or what does it look for being at work at 8? Because on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'll leave work at 8:40. And then on Wednesdays when I work from home, I'll start work at 8:30. And so I don't have all those timings right yet. And so there was a guy back there with a hammer, and it looked like he was trying to break up a bunch of concrete. Good on him. If that's what he's got to work with and he's going to make it work, go after that concrete with a hammer. It's Thursday. I'm leaving at 2 o'clock. So that's all good. I didn't happen to think. So this is good, and that's good. That's good, and that's good. Okay, fine. So writing, I think is good. I think writing is good. I will see if I can hit 10,000 words this week. I really do need to hit 10,000 words this week because I'm in the second writing sprint of book 23, and I just need to get this thing done. It's always interesting because right now I know what like the major stuff is that's supposed to happen at the end of this book. And I've got everything set up to get to that major stuff. But by the same token, I'm only on chapter 17 and I really don't need to start the final run of this until I get to about chapter 23, 24, somewhere in there. So, you know, I have 5, 6, 7, 8 chapters, whatever, that I've got to fill in between in sort of this act 2 or act 3, whatever you want to call it, before I get to the final act. And it's just interesting, you know, as you kind of go along, like, well, what are we going to talk about in here? And then you get an idea to do this, and then you get an idea to do that, and then you fill this out, and then you fill that out. And all of a sudden, you start getting plenty of things to do. So, we did have a nice little moment this last week that was just, I think, one of those things that God sent us to just be a small blessing to a young woman. So on Saturday, Nett and I have been going out on Saturday nights, but she has a rehearsal now because she's working with House of Praise, which is an outreach for veterans. She's been working with House of Praise, playing the piano for them on Sunday mornings while I've been running Sound at Praise, and their rehearsal is Saturday afternoon, and by the time she gets done with that and she comes back and then I go in, it makes supper a little later, and I've been trying to not eat after 4:30-ish, 4:35-ish, because I get to bed at 9:30, 10-ish. And so we haven't necessarily been going out, but she came home and she said, hey, why don't you hop in the car? I'm looking for this certain type of lights, and I'm just going to hit the Dollar Trees, or not Dollar Tree, Dollar Shop, Dollar Generals, the Dollar Generals, I think it was. I'm just going to hit the Dollar Generals until I can find them, because I really want 12 or 18 total. I said, yeah, that's sure fine, Finn. Fine, Speedy. So I hopped in the car, and we just started going, and we checked the first one, and they really didn't, the one closest to us, and they really didn't have any. And I said, well, have you hopped on the websites and taken a look to see, you know, who has what? And she said, no, I didn't really do that. So I didn't know if Dollar General had inventory control mapped out to their websites, but I thought, well, let's find out. Glories of the internet. I got out there, got on Dollar General, found the particular light I was looking for. You know, check inventory, click. It tells you exactly which stores have how many. And, you know, so we just went around to the ones that we knew had some and picked them up. And as it turns out, they weren't on sale when Net bought the original ones, which was that day. But every other store we went to buy more, they were on sale. And they weren't, they were only like $3 to begin with. So, you know, these little lights, they have a little solar panel at the top and they have a little light on them. And so they don't put out an enormous amount of light, but you know, it's fine. It charges up, no batteries, does the little thing. It's good. So then a couple of nights ago, we got out the zip ties and went around the backyard, the fence, and zip-tied them on to the posts, and ta-da-ta-da-ta-da, got that all done. But, at one of the stops, which was over on Commercial Street, I noticed a young lady who was in Dollar General while we were in there, and looking for lights and that kind of stuff, and then as we came out, I noticed her kind of moving with her scooter, moving away, and I put everything in the car, and then she had turned around and come back, and she said, would you all mind just taking me over at such and such an address? And I said, just a second. So I asked Ned. She said, no, I'll have her come. So she said, it's just right over here. So she got in, and Lynette said, now what's the address again? And the lady told us, and Lynette went, that's near Pathways United Methodist. And the lady said, it is Pathways United Methodist. Well, my wife actually was music minister, kind of, yeah, choir director, I think they called her, at Pathways United Methodist for a year, 2 years. So we're very familiar with the church. And, you know, I attended there with Lynette for those 2 years. So Ned said, oh yeah, we know where that is. And so I asked her, I said, are you in the shelter there? And she said, yeah. She said, I'm in the shelter. I knew they ran a shelter for women there. Apparently they've expanded it just to be a shelter. Because once we got over to United Methodist, Pathway United Methodist, they had both men and women in line waiting to get in. So I don't know if there's a limited capacity and they fill up, and that was the reason that she wanted to get over there as soon as possible, because it was just a walk of, you know, a couple of blocks. But we had a nice little conversation in the car, and I helped her get her scooter unloaded. I opened the door so she could get her scooter unloaded. And then we wished her well. But it was, you know, we were at a particular moment in time, and the synchronicity was just interesting, that she was going where we already knew where it was and where we had had some experience with it. So that was kind of interesting. This last week, we did 4th of July, and that one's always fun. And everyone seemed to enjoy the costume. I am now in the grip of making the Mr. Potato Head, and every couple of nights I practice with Marvin the Martian Head, getting it on and off and on and off. Gradually working my way in through all of that. And it's a good core workout, because I have to kind of lift that thing over my head and then steady it as I slip around and wrestle it on. And, you know, work out all the stuff of what happens if this strap gets caught here, and can I just untangle them by feel, and you know, all that's always very interesting. But that's going fine. I really have to start loading it into the car, because right now I have it on top of a workbench, and I might need to just put the thing that I drop it down onto to steady it, I might need to just take that and put it on the floor and then make sure that I can go all the way down in a full squat, stand up with it, move that direction. So now that we are, it won't be this weekend, but next weekend for Marvin the Martian Day, now that we have that, I should probably go ahead and start taking it down to the floor and then picking it up from the floor and making sure all that's good. And then also taking my my little, it's not a tutu, it's whatever the Roman soldiers, those flaps of leather that they wore. There's a name for it. I think it starts with a P. Because it's not really a skirt, it's just overlapping flaps of leather that the Romans wore for mobility and for a little bit of protection on their nether regions there. So, Marvin the Martian wears those, except they stick straight out. So I've got a big hoop of those because I scaled up Marvin the Martian to be my side, and so his little quote-unquote tutu that he has is twice that big. So I need to practice with that as well. In the meantime, I'm also working on Mr. Potato Head, which is, it's mid-August. I think it's like the third weekend in August is National Potato Day. And so I've actually got, I mentioned, I think last week, I got my 3D printer in, and I figured out all how much filament I was going to need. I'm blowing everything up 6 times. You know, it's all going to 600%. I'm slicing up the models using the software that I've got to do that, and you know, that all seems to be going good. I've got special glue coming in so I can start gluing these pieces. I did have a new experience today, and it was kind of purposely I had this experience because I've been tracking how many grams each piece is going to require according to the estimates. And then I know there's 1 kilogram of PLA on the spool. So, you know, I was tracking the pieces, and I had a piece to do, and I was about 20 grams short on the spool of the blue color. And I thought, you know what? Let's just see if that spool is actually a gram or kilogram, or maybe they gave me a little more. As it turns out, there's probably a little bit of slop in those calculations that I was relying on, because I got to 96% of the model. 96% of the model when it ran out of filament. But these are the newer 3D printers, so it just says, hey, you ran out of filament. Go ahead and load some more. We'll finish the print job. Except I don't have any more blue right now. I've ordered some more blue. However, as Jesus reminded me, I do have white. So I'm just going to go ahead and finish it out with white. And then we'll see how well it sticks on there because, you know, by now the glue is... I mean, it informed me of this like 3 hours ago. And it'll be interesting to see if things have cooled down and it won't stick as well. So I have a little adventure waiting for me when I get home, just to see. I mean, there's other ways I could go about this. It's almost done. There's just some ridges that aren't done. And worst case scenario, I have some sculpting foam. I probably could grab some of that sculpting foam and just finish out whatever piece is left and then paint it. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to try to you know, unload the filament, reload the filament, and then resume after I load the filament. And let's just see how good this does. It'll be interesting to see. But this has been fun. It's been fun to see how you break these pieces apart and do the thing. And so I think I'm okay on the number of parts that I have to print and how long it's going to take according to the estimates. Just half of the Mr. Potato shell, Mr. Potato Head shell, it's guessing that it's going to take about 112 hours to print. So 112 hours to print is basically 5 days nonstop. So I think as long as I have 2 weeks left, I should be able to get the big shells printed. And then the rest of it's just the accessories. So I think we're good. But we'll see. We'll see. Step at a time. So that's fun. Writing is going fine. Last couple of days, I've been able to actually write more. When I started out and had my big day by myself on Monday, I didn't get nearly as much writing done as I should have. I kind of took too many breaks and just enjoyed my day. So we're going to get that under control next Monday. But you know, it was fine. It was fine. I actually did end up over my targeted 16 hours by a couple of hours because of some problems that we had this week that needed to be fixed. And so I helped take care of those. But yeah, I can get used to this schedule. I can get used to this just working 16 hours a week deal. So we'll see. Anyways, for this week, in terms of stories, I actually had a couple of different stories that I'm following. One of the really interesting things that happened in Bitcoin this week, well, two interesting things that happened in Bitcoin, that there was movement on some of the early older wallets. Now, these wallets don't have the same level of encryption as the newer wallets do, because these would have been formed and mined early on. All told, there was movement of, 80,000 coins, I think. They were in 8 different wallets, and each of the wallets, I think, had 10,000 bitcoins apiece in them. Bearing in mind that Bitcoin is at, well, it set a new record today. It's at $112,500, something like that. At the time, it was like at $110,000, $109,000, somewhere in there. And it's set 2 days in a row now. It's set a new top, so it seems to be percolating. 10,000 coins in one wallet. That's a lot, because you do the math, 100,000 times 10,000, that's $1 billion with a B. Somebody moved 8 wallets, one right after another, from those wallets to someplace else. Now, what's interesting/concerning about that was that there's some comments that can be made at the bottom of those wallets, and the comments were things like, this is an official notice that this Bitcoin is being confiscated, you know, please respond. You know, and this Bitcoin is being judged. Another comment was something like, this Bitcoin is being judged abandoned. If it isn't abandoned, get in touch, you know. Didn't really say with who. Or maybe it did. Maybe there was a website that was like a governmental website. And, you know, get in touch, prove it's your wallet. You know, you can have the Bitcoins back. And in concert with that, there was an interview. Oh, I'm supposed to be looking for a blue car. Just a second. In concert with that, there was an interview with a government official talking about the how the government is going to set up a reserve for Bitcoin. And they were asked, you know, well, is the government going to buy Bitcoin? How is the government going to get a stockpile together? You know, I mean, how much money is the government going to spend? And the guy who was in charge of kind of getting the reserve together had a cryptic answer about, well, no, we're not going to charge the citizens for this because we've got lots of creative ways that we can go about acquiring Bitcoin. And it was all this kind of mysterious, like, what are you talking about? Are you just going to start seizing people's Bitcoin? Because Bitcoin is interesting enough that if you figured out a way that you could just arbitrarily steal anybody's Bitcoin, that would be a problem and would probably drive the Bitcoin to zero. It would just drive it to zero. Because if it could be hacked, then, you know, no one would trust it. And if no one trusted it, no one's going to put their money on it. Everybody's going to pull their stuff out. And so if everybody pulls their stuff out, then that's the end of that. So people who deal in Bitcoin should actually know that. You know, they should know that if they're going to try some sort of a strong arm move with Bitcoin and they are just going to show what great hackers they are, that they can just steal everybody's Bitcoin, Bitcoin will just bottom out. And it won't, what they steal won't be worth anything. So there's an incentive not to hack the wallets if you can. Except if you're just somebody who likes to see things burn. If you're somebody who just wants to see things burn, then okay, someone might be able to do that. So there was a lot of concern about, okay, so who actually moved this stuff? And are those messages true? Or is it someone just pranking around? You know, for someone to actually have 80,000 Bitcoin in an old wallet like this, it would have to be somebody who had been working with Bitcoin from nearly the beginning. So there's some questions about, is this Satoshi? You know, is this really his wallets? We know, we think, that there's an early wallet on the blockchain that has like a million Bitcoins in it because Satoshi, whoever he is, did mine Bitcoin for about a year before he released the whole thing, and he mined a million coins and stuck them in a wallet. So, you know, if he still has access, if he's not dead and he still has access to that wallet and it has a million Bitcoins in it, that wallet is like worth what? At $100,000 a Bitcoin, that wallet is what? What would it be? A million would be 6 zeros. 100,000 is 5 zeros. So you'd end up with 11 zeros. It's some crazy amount of money. So what is it, 10 trillion? That's a lot of money. But who knows? You know, who knows? So it's going to be interesting to see what came about. What's interesting is this happened a couple of days ago. And even though it happened a couple of days ago and everybody was speculating and saying, what's going to happen now? You know, what's going to happen to Bitcoin's price? Bitcoin just hit all-time highs. 112 basically five. So it doesn't really seem to be bothering anybody. And I think the reason that it's not bothering anybody at this point is these are older wallet with easier encryption to break. So since it's an easier encryption to break, people are maybe thinking, well, there's a possibility it is some of the older people, and who knows? Maybe the federal government has, with all their NSA stuff, been able to demonstrate that they can break the encryption on the earlier wallets. And if there's been no activity on those wallets for however long, 10 years, they're just going to start cracking them and taking the Bitcoin and transferring it and then saying, hey, look, if if this is actually your wallet, well, fine and dandy, you can have your Bitcoin back. But if you can't prove it's your wallet, we're just moving in by right of eminent domain. That's not ideal. But if it's only limited to the wallets that have less secure encryption on them, well, then maybe that doesn't shake things up too much, because what people could do even before someone hacked into their stuff is they could just create a new wallet and move it out of the old wallet into the new wallets, and then they're secure. And if they're not doing that and they understand anything about how Bitcoin works and what's going on, and you would think that they would have done that already. So it'll be interesting to see if, now that that's happened, if there will be a flurry of activity with some of the older wallets getting moved around. And especially it will be fascinating to see if someone moves in on like Satoshi's wallet that has a million bitcoins in it and transfers that out. So fascinating stuff. It is fascinating stuff. I had some notes on some other stuff, but we'll just let that go for now. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.